The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us, but how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is Voice over IP, Serve Savings and Pains. Our guests for today's show are Mike Palmer, Brian Barker, and George Goodall. Michael is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer with LI Products. Previously, he headed the Information Technology and Systems Group for the Northeast Region for BT Office Products International, which is now Corporate Express. Michael is the recipient of CIO Magazine's 2003 CIO 100 Award, and he was a founding member of the CIO Executive Council sponsored by the CIO Magazine. He is an IT Fellow at the Temple University's Fox School of Management Irving L. Gross eBusiness Institute and is on the MIS Advisory Board at Temple University. Brian is the Vice President of IT Infrastructure with Allied Office Products. During the last 3 years, the infrastructure team has implemented several initiatives that also includes reducing Allied's annual telecom costs by 33%. Previously, Brian worked with Computer Horizons and led Network Operations Group providing network architecture and deployment consulting to organizations including Allied Office Supplies, the United States Tennis Association, Schlumberger, and BOC Gases, among the few. George Goodall is a senior analyst with Infotech Research Group, an information technology analyst firm. George has written on a variety of IT topics, including internet telephony, network-attached storage, enterprise applications, along with several vendor and software selection evaluation reports, including Content Management Select, Business Intelligence Select, Enterprise Resource Planning Select, Network-Attached Storage Select, and Voice over IP Select. George has conducted research on the use of information technology within organizations and is currently completing a PhD from the Faculty of Information and Media Studies at the University of Western Ontario, Canada. Good morning, panel. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. So,
How is the business right now? As you see, we are almost towards the tail end of 2005. Anybody? How's business?
Good. In our arena, we're up about 22% over last year, so we do see the business improving substantially in our area, in the Northeast.
Yeah, and here in Ontario, in the information industry, we're doing very well. I think recent trends in technology, and as things get much more complicated, has really driven a lot of interest in our products. So this has been a banner year for us.
Great. So let's quickly take a look at the voice over IP wave. What we have been looking at is everybody literally starts to jump on it. It's the next cool thing that we're talking about. And, of course, for some people, it provides us the savings. But recently, I had a few people complained about a major power outage that we have in the Chicago area where we are. And voice over IP infrastructure came down. And, of course, they had to resort to their cell phones or any other landline infrastructure that they could get their hands on. So while we see that it is going to give us some savings and while it has got a lot of other functionality, are we not picking up something which is mission-critical utility for any organization and which has got its own separate dependencies on Internet and electricity? How can we safeguard against that? Mike?
Well, what we did at Allied is we, like any other project in technology, we're going to evaluate the whole process. And for Voice over IP, we saw some benefits in regards to functionality. When we look at both the electricity and the Internet's the key player there. We said, how are we going to prevent that? Like any other project, we're going to build in a redundancy. I mean, we have a couple million dollars in a traditional PBX. That's not going away. We wanted to start to take away as much of that as we felt comfortable with and put in a voice over IP system. We did a proof of concept in one of our offices in California, and now that's done, and now we're going to roll it out and take over a piece of our business, our customer service piece, because we think that's where the benefits come from. But we are doing a planning of redundancies. We use 800 numbers, so if they fail in one area, if the voice over IP went down, we could switch them to our traditional PBX. So you do have to build in redundancies at this stage in the voice over IP game. As far as cost goes, we look at them as pretty much equal. We do not see a huge savings in voice over IP. We look at the benefits from the functionality we gain on the business side.
Ryan?
One thing I would add to that is, in the event of a power failure, whether you're using voice over IP or traditional PBX, you still have to have a backup plan. You need to have a contingency in place that takes your phone and data to another market if possible, another geographically different region. And like Mike said, what we do in that scenario is we use 800 numbers. If we have 800 numbers pointing to a market that incurs a snowstorm or power failure, we'll change the 800 numbers to a different office.
Okay. And then what has been a typical trend, George, as you've seen how people are dealing with this?
What Mike and Brian have shared about Allied's experience seems to be exactly what we're seeing with the rest of the industry. In general, as people are rolling out voice over IP implementations, with voice over IP in general, or with any kind of information technology decision, there's really two factors that people consider: risk and cost. And so there's this big concern now about offsetting those two bogeys. So really that risk driver, and as we've heard from Mike and Brian about the importance of contingency planning, is huge. And we're hearing that from a lot of different industries, a lot of different players in the industry. The way people have typically accommodated this is to go slow. We hear these examples of big bang voice over IP implementations that go sour because people don't necessarily plan well. So as Mike mentioned, existing PBX technology isn't necessarily going anywhere. Many companies have these PBX systems that are fully appreciated, and they work, frankly. So what people are doing is looking for ways to augment and overlay those systems. And a lot of the same lessons from traditional telephony apply to voice over IP as well. A lot of the traditional lessons from disaster and recovery planning for data structures also apply. So what we're seeing is people implementing voice over IP slowly in branch offices as overlays or as augmentations to existing PBX systems, and people are very conscious about some of these power outage issues and the service outage issues. So from a power outage issue, people are quite concerned with redundant power supplies and how to provide those directly to the handsets. And, of course, with voice over IP handsets, that becomes an additional concern, how you power those handsets. And from the information access perspective or the service perspective, we're seeing the same thing. And, of course, it's standard policy. Anybody with a DRP plan in place for their data infrastructure will have backup data providers. And that can also apply for to a voice over IP environment, so you have that automatic switchover between data providers. And so that is certainly what we're seeing is kind of par for the course. A couple of years ago, people were going for the big bang implementations, and a number of people were burned. Now, a lot of organizations are looking for a much more incremental approach and being much more focused on that risk issue.
So let me ask you this, though. You know, we always talk about these features and functions, and like in case of you, Mike, and Brian, where the feature functions were very important, and that's why you chose voice over IP. If suppose that were not the case and you just wanted voice information, is just the saving that we're talking about, especially when the baby bells are coming back with the price cuts and they're just trying to compete, would there be any value in going to voice over IP at all?
Now, we really look at voice over IP as a benefit to get additional functionality in our business. So that we really drive everything from the business side. In our case, with customer service, we wanted to run a geographically dispersed customer service model, and it's much easier to do and controllable in a voice over IP world than it is in a traditional PBX world. So that's what we want to do. We feel that we place a lot of value on a local customer service group or if we have an inside sales group and we have one person at home, we want to bring them into the group. We want to control them, monitor them, make sure they keep the standards up. The best way to do that was a voice over IP model, so that's why we chose it. And as George said, the model we did first is we took a new office in California, put that together as a test, as our proof of concept. We did not converge the networks. We kept them separate at first to make sure it worked. And then later this year, we'll converge them together to make sure that works when we get our MPLS network up and we have our quality of service tags on that. So that was our test. We're doing it again in Pittsburgh in about 2 weeks. So we're testing. That's a much bigger office. It's about three times the size of California. So we're gonna roll it there, and then it rolls to our customer service group in January. So you do have to go slow, and you do have to do your proof of concepts and your costs.
Yeah, this is George. I think one of the points that Mike made there, which is really important, is that when we look at added functionality in voice over IP systems, when we look at demonstrations from the vendors, they have all these great sort of functions where you see the screen pops integrating, say, a customer relationship management system with a telephony system. My experience from our clients and what we're hearing is that kind of functionality isn't necessarily the primary driver for the voice over IP implementations. When people are looking at the added functionality, it is really the ease of managing geographically dispersed organizations. How do we integrate those remote workers? How do we integrate those kind of branch offices? So as far as the added functionality goes, that is really seems to be one of the key drivers rather than the a lot of the eye candy that we see in some of the product demonstrations. Mike, would you agree with that?
I absolutely would agree with that. In fact, when we were doing our research, when we went to the big players in this, and you go to their NACs or you go to their centers where they have their voice over IP systems up, the eye candy is unbelievable. I mean, it's just all over the place. And we look at the manufacturers that are trying to sell you on savings, and we look at the baby bells as they're not driving savings, the manufacturers are. But we don't see it playing out at all as savings at all, because the base system, you're not going to want the base system. You're going to want to add a different level of voicemail. You're going to want to add an IVR to CTI link. You're going to do chat and screen pops. You're going to want email, text, and voice. Well, all those things are hundreds of thousands of dollars of added cost in your voice over IP to build it up. So once you get that all built up and you look at a traditional fully built PBX, you're about the same dollars. We think the baby bells, we don't think they're trying to kill voice over IP. We think they've now accepted it, and they're going slow just like we are, and they're going to figure out a way to charge for it just like they always do. With the MPLS networks, it's a more expensive network. To get your quality of service tag, it's going to cost you more money. Well, that's your offset. So they're going to figure it out. We think they just look at it as traffic. Get me all the traffic, and I'll figure out a way to segregate it out, give you a quality of service, and charge more money. So that's kind of how we look at the whole thing and the way it plays out.
Yeah, and that certainly resonates with my experience in the industry. And I think often as we sit back and look at the industry, we analyze the industry, we want to line up two enemies, if you will. We want to line up voice over IP versus traditional telephony, or voice over IP PBX versus the traditional PBX. But often, especially I think in the case of the baby bells, as Brian was mentioning, is there's a certain degree of convergence there already. And it's just a different sort of offering, and it's a matter of trying to figure out where the value is and where the pennies can be saved or where the dollars can be saved. So I don't think it's necessarily as clear a discrepancy between those services as sometimes in the press we like to make it out to be.
This is Brian. Just to add to what Mike was saying regarding the baby bells, one way or another, we have to pass traffic as businesses and consumers. And for the local LECs, they want to be part of that. So whether it's us building out an MPLS network or a private network between our offices, or bridging into the public switch telephone network, it has to go over the baby bells networks. So they're not losing revenue. If anything, they're getting more creative in the products and services that they offer.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll talk about the fact that, you know, voice over IP has become yet another baby in the hands of the IT guys in an organization. And with already we have made IT as a very fabric for our organization, and even something which was a utility earlier is now becoming a high-tech gadget or if nothing else, a high-tech application which is available for IT guys to play with and also manage. So how far do we take this, and are we not setting ourselves up for a single point of failure? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
What stock should I buy?
When is it time to sell?
Where do I turn for honest advice on my portfolio?
For the answers to these questions, tune in to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Oliver, Greg, and their guests will discuss the daily going-ons of Wall Street, as well as give you tips on how to identify the hottest sectors and trends in the market. Improve your portfolio. Listen to Trading in Today's Markets with Oliver Alvarez and Greg Capra. Broadcast live on Business America Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Are your accounts stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic? Are your finances flowing at 2 miles an hour? It's time to crank your cash into high gear by tuning in to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense with Bullseye Bruce Horowitz. Every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Bullseye Bruce will give you no-nonsense, common-sense financial advice that anyone can understand, as well as bring you clarity on some of the most complex and confusing financial issues today. So get out of that traffic jam and listen to Making Sense of Financial Nonsense every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is Voice Over IP, Savings and Pains, and our guests for today's show are Mike Palmer, Brian Barker, and George Goodall. Mike is Executive Vice President of Supply Chain Management and Chief Information Officer with Allied Office Products. Brian is the Vice President of IT Infrastructure with Allied Office Products. And George is the Senior Analyst with Infotech Research Group. Before the break, we were talking about the load that already the IT group has with all other systems and applications that they're dealing with. Now they have this added responsibility of handling the voice over IP and the new cool features and the applications and related hardware and software that they have to manage. And the fact that IT is already the fabric of organization, and I've seen situations where if IT is down, the whole business is down. And this is even one more thing that we are bringing close to a single point of failure situation. So while it is good, but are we not setting up ourselves for something which is not cool when it actually happens? That is, it fails.
Yeah, this is Mike. From my point of view, it's really not a single point of failure. What we've done, we did about 3 or 4 years ago, is under the infrastructure group, we put both the telecom and the data. So they're used to working together. This was just another integration, and I think the benefit of that is, since the data side, since we build in redundancies and contingency plans, you just took that same thought process and moved it over to the voice over IP, I think you're in much better shape. But Brian can talk to it. There is a huge learning curve when you do that. Even though you have both under the same roof, it is still a big learning curve that you have to prepare for.
Yeah, and I think one thing to add to that is I don't think we feel the pressure of additional responsibility or just to keep the network and phones running because we live with that every day. If anything, it's been an exciting time for us to learn a whole new technology because the implications are pretty huge. And what we also have found is you do gain some cross-training efficiencies. Not anyone, but a lot of the folks on our team can easily track down whether a network cable is working or not, whereas they may not necessarily know the phones very well. And the folks who handle our phone systems haven't necessarily been the most adept at networking concepts. So for the staff, they've enjoyed getting exposure to both and understanding the implications of both.
Yeah, this is George. The comments of Mike and Brian certainly resonate again with what we've heard among our clients. And one of the things to consider as well in the data infrastructure is what we're seeing is people who use voice over IP implementations, and you can think of them as almost the personal trainer of the data infrastructure world, where companies have certain plans for the data infrastructure, certain applications that they want to integrate, or just an awareness of certain limitations in their infrastructure. There's certain things, for example, surrounding quality of service that IT managers know could be better. But there's not necessarily the impetus or to really start that kind of project. Voice over IP often can kind of give that jump start to really force an IT department and a telephony department to sit down and start thinking, okay, where are the limitations in our infrastructure? Do our switches have the capacity? Does our cabling have the capacity? Where are the bottlenecks here, and how do we reconcile those? So that's one of the other things that a voice over IP implementation can do, especially if it's phased. It's kind of like a boot camp for an IT department.
You know, to expand on that further, we've faced that exact same issue. We first rolled out our first voice implementation was in our California office. It was a greenfield operation or opportunity. But what we decided to do, because we have no technical experience or expertise with QoS, so when we set up the office, we had to run separate data and phone lines like we would in a traditional PBX installation. Our next step is to learn QoS so that we can really get more of a bang for our buck in the next greenfield operation. If with us not knowing QoS, we could never take the risk of converging the networks, because if someone were to download one large file or, you know, create some network traffic, our phones are gone. So there is a huge learning curve there. And I think, you know, our approach has been to be kind of cautious about it and make sure we get it right the first time so that it works correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that seems to be very much the approach. Certain organizations we've talked to who don't have such a clear who haven't necessarily amalgamated their telephony and data divisions of their IT department have run into slightly more difficulties in certain voice over IP implementations. These are typically where, to augment an existing PBX, the organization decides to install voice over IP capable cards. And so that can cause some tension just because it comes down to wait a sec, whose line items are these? You know, where does this fall in the budget? Who handles that kind of relationship? So, you know, that is the one place. If there hasn't been the strategic initiative to bring telephony and data together, there can be kind of social conflicts within the organization, especially around accounting codes, which seems ridiculous, but it's certainly an issue.
That makes sense.
So let me ask you this, though. When we say that voice over IP, when you have to, say, adopt it, you bring some hardware and some software, do you also have to scale in any form or fashion your existing infrastructure, which would end up, adding to the total cost of ownership?
Well, you have to scale in our case, because we do maintain that traditional PBX. You do have to build in the integration points. You have to make sure that one can talk to the other, and vice versa. So there is an added component there that does drive up the total cost of ownership, but we don't think it's significant, and if you're going to do it, you have to do it that way. It's part of the cost of the redundancy, and it's not a significant cost, but if you overlook it, it could really be an issue. And there are things, as George said, I have a lot of my counterparts who deal with the really stupid things like accounting codes and is it in this group or is it in that group, and because now you're converging them together, how do I actually do that? So there is a little bit of the political side and organizational side that you have to consider here.
And this is George. One of the other things we've seen in smaller organizations that are pursuing a voice over IP implementation, when they look at the actual, for example, the voice over IP handset or the voice server that they're going to be using for that type of implementation, the costs seem quite low. But when they start getting into it and realize that their data infrastructure currently is basically held together with duct tape and twine, you know, that can have a huge impact because there's nothing, especially for smaller organizations, they may not have considered the cost of a brand new level 2 switch and what that might mean, or potential recabling costs throughout an organization. So those costs become much more pronounced in a smaller organization. And often in those cases, the instigating factor for a voice over IP implementation might be more related to an overall data infrastructure upgrade than necessarily just a telephony decision.
Well, and one thing to consider there is before you jump into voice over IP is to have a very good understanding of your existing infrastructure, because you're most likely looking at possibly upgrading switches, routers, making sure that if all of your cabling is Cat 5 as opposed to either Cat 5 and Cat 3. There's a lot of considerations to make there.
Yeah, and it's really not uncommon as people start out, as they're piloting their voice over IP implementation. And, you know, when we pick up the phone, we expect that dial tone. We have that real expectation of a certain mean opinion score, a certain quality of voice on the phone. But it's not uncommon in these early implementations, as people negotiate that learning curve, to pick up the phone and all of a sudden there's a great deal of jitter on the line, or there's latency in the communication, or even worse, there's an echo, which is often because of incompatibilities in cabling, or because somewhere deep in the back office you actually have an old hub sitting there which connects somehow that people haven't necessarily factored into their infrastructure and cabling and their topology diagrams. And so that is not an uncommon scenario.
So let me go into an area where we're talking about the global organizations. You know, everything is becoming global now, and especially voice over IP turns out to be a big boon where you can have tremendous cost savings over the long distance rates. And now the only thing which is there is the availability of the underlying infrastructure for voice over IP to work properly. You talk about internet, you talk about electricity available. There are rolling blackouts there much more than what we would see in the United States and Canada. And also, in some cases, you also see a ban on the voice over IP altogether because they have a very strong local telecom lobby, which is preventing the voice over IP to flourish. So with that being said, I mean, are we just saying, okay, we sit back and relax and not do anything more about it till the time we actually see this thing improving? Because actually the true savings could be the more you scale, the more savings you see. And global organizations could get the most benefit out of it, but there are these gotchas. How do you deal with this, or are there anything that can be done about this?
I can take the first crack at this. This is George. It's kind of interesting when you look at voice over IP, and one of the things you mentioned was the regulatory environment and what that means. And really, from a regulatory perspective, it's still unclear in most of the world how we should classify voice over IP. Is it a telecommunication product? Is it a data product? And this has a real dramatic effect, because if it is a telecommunication product, there are different requirements, for example, with regard to say, wiretapping or provision to remote areas, those kind of legislated things. If it's a data service, well, it's a much looser regulatory environment. What I find interesting, because there's not much we can do about regulation, what I find very interesting is the response that organizations have had to this kind of regulatory environment. And so in our conversation so far, you notice that we've really focused on voice over IP implementations within the four walls of an organization. So what companies and organizations are doing largely is to negotiate some of these regulatory frameworks is they implement voice over IP where they have control, where they can control these electrical issues, where the regulatory issues don't apply, which is within their own organization, within their own data infrastructure. Similarly, on the carrier side, we see carriers using packet switch technologies to drive certain cost savings there. Where the regulatory environment kicks in is where we have this interface between the carriers and the and individual organizations. So it's not uncommon for organizations to run a completely voice over IP environment internally, perhaps integrating branch offices or whatever else, and then switching over to the PSTN through a gateway, and then sending that off to the carrier, and then from the carrier side again, it's packet switch. So it's kind of interesting how people have negotiated these kind of barriers, but really the attention is and the focus is to control the cost and control what you can inside the four walls of the organization.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll continue talking about this potential issues with globalization of organization and different organizations going through globalization, and also the way voice over IP can be best used in those situations. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
Get dialed in, 1-866-233-7861. Up to the minute business talk. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoot, get away!
Agree with them, dear. Hornets hate high-pitched noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4 foot nine, they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who have just tuned in, today's topic is Voice over IP Savings and Pains. Our guests for today's show are Mike Palmer, Brian Barker, and George Goodall. Mike is the Executive Vice President for Supply Chain Management and Chief Information Officer with Allied Office Products. Brian Barker is the Vice President of IT Infrastructure with Allied Office Products. And George Goodall is the Senior Analyst with Infotech Research Group. Before the break, we were talking about the globalization as it exists in today's world, in business world, and then voice over IP can be best used and best exploited, if you will, in that world where the cost savings could be enormous. So,
But the fact is there are lobbies, local lobbies from the telecom side that prevents, or there are bans because of it on voice over IP, or there are issues with the bandwidth that's available, or there is an electricity and internet issue altogether which will just totally kill the voice over IP existence. So how do we deal with that in such a scenario, and what can global organizations do about it? So George has provided a few thoughts, and George, you can just finish up your thought, and then maybe Mike and Brian can share something.
Sure. Over the break, I was talking briefly with Brian and Mike, and I think actually the best route to go forward, I'll probably hand the floor over to Brian, or was it Mike who had some great ideas about approaching that globalization issue?
The way we think about it, this is Mike, is in our organization, we're domestic. We're within the United States. But I came from 15 years with both Bristol Myers and Kodiak-Palmolive, which are global organizations. And I believe the way that the global organizations are going to handle it is, as George said, they're going to stay within their four walls and use voice over IP as far as they can for cost savings and intercompany. Then if you think of it as a highway from New York to L.A. as voice over IP, if something's down in Ohio and you go through it, you get off the highway, go the local route, and get back on the highway wherever you can. So what's happening with voice over IP is I think you're going to take it as far as you can, and then whatever regulatory or whether it's the local telecom industry is not going to let you do it, then you hand it off because the integration points are there. So once the integration points are there, you just hand it back and forth wherever you need to do that and wherever you need to keep your quality of service, and then you just go that way. So that's how we look at the global version.
So let's look at the other standpoint where we are talking about the privacy and also how voice over IP could be abused. So let's look at an issue where suppose a legal investigation is going on, and usually people go and track the calls made from one end or the other, and we use the baby bells for that purpose, and the lawmakers and the law enforcers, that is, police department, could very well go and ask Baby Bell to provide the records. Now, here, we're talking about somebody using a computer to make a call. There is a company which is not a regulated organization till now, and which is becoming the service provider, and then on the other side, you have yet another voice over IP provider. If it really comes down to it, the whole data can be wiped out, and there is no trace left for such an investigation. And secondly, just because now you've got voice and data for all your, you're basically controlling it, suppose there's an IT infrastructure person and he's controlling the voice over IP in your organization. And if he wanted to, you make a long distance call, if he wanted to have this being used for anything else, he could have, his friends, his buddies could come in, or as an organization, if they wanted to play with it, they can play with it because they have a total control on it. So are we in for something, or you can say, are we in for an abuse of a service which was otherwise more traceable?
This is George. Maybe I'll lead off, and I'll talk about the first part of that question, which is really about the broader technology in general, and then when we look at the individual IT department policy perspective, Mike and Brian might have different perspective on that. As far as the comments on the lack of security or the lack of the ability to wiretap on a voice over IP call, that's absolutely valid. This is, in the best case, is a peer-to-peer technology. And like a number of other technologies, like, say, instant messaging, it's very hard to put a trace on it. But the reality is the way most people implement voice over IP, it's not necessarily a purely peer-to-peer type environment. For example, a lot of people, for example, service like Vonage in the United States or like Wanadoo in France, for example, some of the consumer voice over IP products, we know that traffic is being routed through a particular direction, through a particular route, through the infrastructure of a particular company. In that case, there is a certain level of accountability on the service provider, and there is a certain level of control there. And I think it was actually just last week the FCC expanded their, it's an act called the Communications for Law Enforcement Act. They actually expanded that to cover voice over IP products, provided it's hosted by a major carrier or a specific service. And going back to some of the policy issues is kind of interesting because since the FCC has applied telecommunications regulations now to voice over IP, there's another question. Is it telecom? Is it data? But there we have the FCC stepping in and saying, okay, what the kind of traceability requirements that we have for traditional telecom are now going to apply to voice over IP. The other aspect as well is that, and one of the themes that we've talked about is implementing voice over IP within the four walls, is that from that perspective there is a certain level of traditional telephony infrastructure. So when it comes to call monitoring, those kind of issues, there's certainly a degree of accountability and traceability there, especially because a number of the calls, we're not terminating the call directly from a voice over IP client or from an IP client. Often it's, say, a call initiating with an IP client, terminating on an analog client, so there will be some sort of trace there. And of course, with a number of regulations, privacy regulations, due diligence requirements, things like that, and frankly, from the perspective of customer service, a number of companies have policies for recording calls, tracking calls, the same way they do with the PBX environment. That's not necessarily going away. As for some of the other internal IT department security concerns and issues, maybe Mike or Brian could field some of those questions.
I think that when you couple the state of law enforcement in the world today, privacy regulations, and regulatory agencies like the FCC, there's going to be a lot of constraints put on this. I mean, just simply the 911 that the FCC is dealing with a company like Vonage in the United States. You know, you can't have that mobile device running around. 911, you have to know where it is. So I think a lot of that stuff is coming, and I think that's going to just tighten it down more and more. From our perspective, in our industry, we do not have regulations that say I have to record that call. I'm sure we've all been in lawsuits that during the discovery process, they say, give me every call you've made from this location to this location, from this person's phone out. And if we don't have it, they go right to the carrier, like a Verizon or AT&T, and they subpoena those records. So there's definitely going to be an impact, and how that works is going to be very interesting. From our inside world, which we look at the inside world, our regulatory agency inside is the HR department. And it's what's allowed and what's not allowed. We do monitoring of calls for customer service people. That's part of our greeting, so that's a kind of a common thing. But if we want to track where someone's going on their computer, the internet, we do that today, and it's going to be the same thing with voice. If we want to know, we can set the logs up. So our internal regulatory agencies, the HR department, are going to follow their rules. And externally, it's really wide open, as George alluded to.
Yeah, and one thing I would add, I don't think a whole lot changes in terms of how you handle it in-house. Today we can see all call activity down to the extension level, and with a voice over IP system, we would expect the same.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages, and we'll be right back and talk about the fact that, you know, this whole initiative has to be sold to the executive management. Do we just say this is the next cool thing, let's adopt it, or we have got some ROIs, TCOs, etc. calculation, what could be appealing enough, and they would end up buying into it. So let's see how the IT leadership is able to take this information to the executive leadership and make a case for this. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Win with effective marketing. Win with proper positioning and branding. Win with Dick McDonald on his show Win-Win Marketing for Buyers and Sellers every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, we will discuss the challenges and common mistakes made in today's industry while providing you insight on what you can do to avoid these pitfalls. Get ahead with effective marketing in today's world. Listen to Win-Win Marketing for Sellers and Buyers with Dick McDonald, heard every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time here on the Bottom Line of Business, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk. Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
You are listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is basically voice over IP savings and pains, and our guests for today's show are Mike Palmer, Brian Barker, and George Goodall. Mike is the Executive Vice President, Supply Chain Management, and Chief Information Officer with Allied Office Products. Brian is the Vice President of IT Infrastructure with Allied Office Products. And George Goodall is a Senior Analyst with the Infotech Research Group. Before the break, we were talking about the skepticism that still prevails among executive management members about this new thing, which is cool and which is voice over IP, and that they may not have much information about it. Now, with not much history also available about its success, it could turn out to be a tough situation for IT leaders to go and sell this. So how do we do it? What are the pushbacks, and how do we deal with those pushbacks? Brian?
One thing that we did is we did a large proof of concept. We've spent a lot of time in the last year educating ourselves at multiple levels. Most importantly, the equipment and the manufacturer level. What are the features? What can we expect to get out of a new system? The next thing we looked at were the network implications and what would we need to do on our network infrastructure to be able to handle voice over IP. And if you and in doing that, when you look at swapping out our existing PBX for a voice over IP system, it doesn't make sense at all. What we did find, though, is as we have greenfield opportunities or new offices, when we need to provide a phone system, whether it's a traditional PBX or a voice over IP phone system, the costs are the same. It's roughly $75,000 to $100,000 per office. So we've had success, and we've moved in the direction of implementing voice over IP in our greenfield operations. But in terms of swapping out the main systems, we haven't even taken that to the executive level because it doesn't make sense when we do the numbers ourselves, so we would never go there quite yet.
What we have done, what Brian did present us, is we have a strategic plan that says in a three-year period we need to replace the PBX. So this works right along the growth line of the voice over IP industry, meaning that if we start with voice over IP now as a foundation, in 3 years, the growth line of voice over IP should be up where we can take out a traditional PBX that we have now, and that the functionality will be there, the redundancies will be there, and the things that we look for will already be there. So because we did our homework and our executive management team, when we go to that depth and present it to them, we have built up over the years a certain trust. And trust is a big factor here. Plus, I sit on the executive committee. I report to the CEO. So that trust is already built up. But when they see us do our homework, they know how we present things, then we can go along and get the approval to do these things.
Yeah, one of the other interesting things that we've seen as far as people investigating voice over IP, and these are typically for companies that are relatively static, so they're not growing that quickly. They're typically single site, so they're not necessarily worried about integrating those branch offices. And they're looking at a PBX replacement. And then they go out to the field and they start doing their due diligence, investigating things, especially for smaller companies. right now, as larger companies replace their PBX equipment, traditional PBX equipment, there are incredible fire sales on off-lease PBX stuff. So the current concern then becomes is slightly older equipment, but the traditional vendors like Nortel and Lucent, they have rock-solid support organizations. So even though, crazy as it seems, there are organizations that are going out to evaluate cutting-edge technology, but they end up deciding on older technology because the price is there and the support network is so established and robust.
So let's quickly look at this new thing which has come out, like wireless voice over IP, which is expected to take over the current cell phone infrastructure. And in fact, we are talking about even internet being available as a wireless format versus even hardwired internet that we see in the offices. So how is that going to at all affect the voice over IP bandwagon the way it's going right now?
This is George. It's interesting because I think we're seeing the same sort of things in wireless voice over IP that we've seen within the organization. So just to give you a brief rundown, when it comes to wireless voice over IP, there's basically two flavors of offerings. One is very much a toll bypass option where traditionally your cell carrier carries a local channel and everything, but it's basically for your long distance or overseas calling, that switches over to a voice over IP type network. So a company like Mint Telecom offers those kind of services. What we're seeing a lot of interest in right now are dual mode phones. So in a dual mode phone, the phone, the handset itself will talk voice over IP when it has access to the wireless network. But when it's out of range, it'll switch over to the existing protocol, CDMA or GSM, depending on the geographic location. And what's interesting about those is it's very much a similar theme to what we've talked about before. So these phones work very, very well in the voice over IP environment when you're within the four walls of the organization. And it enables all sorts of interesting functionality. For example, paging, which in certain institutional environments, for example, can be very important in a hospital. But when that handset drifts outside of the signal of the facility, then it switches over and becomes a traditional GSM or a traditional cell phone, and it can carry those kind of signals. And so again, it's the same kind of theme that we've been seeing, that the dual mode phones make a lot of sense when you're trying to go negotiate wireless technology or wireless telephony within the four walls of the organization versus outside the four walls of the organization. One of the interesting constraints with the wireless voice over IP, it comes down to security and how much of open bandwidth you want to be spraying around the neighborhood. So that, again, we're getting back to infrastructure and how this convergence between the voice and the data infrastructure can be very important, especially in a wireless voice over IP environment, say for a campus setting or a corporate campus or an academic campus setting, and what it requires to lock down that infrastructure both from a data perspective and from a physical perspective, wiring down, protecting those wireless hotspots. It's quite interesting technology right now. I know one vendor who's producing these dual mode handsets, a company called Calypso Wireless. There's a lot of interest there. How this translates into sales, I'm not too sure. And as it stands right now, looking on the technological horizon, I think we're going to see a lot greater uptake of this type of dual-mode technology when some of the new wireless communication protocols really start kicking in, like WiMAX. And once that gets greater uptake, I think the technology itself will be much more viable.
I think that in the wireless world, I mean, I think there's a lot of exciting things that can happen, but for me, there are so many phones out there now, my head hurts just thinking about it. And I'm trying to get a phone that works in my car and I can take out. I mean, it's just crazy how many different phones that are happening. When you add the global component with the different phones that don't work in different countries and the standards that we promote here and the rest of the world doesn't, it just is a mix that's unbelievable. So I think it's going to be interesting, but it's also going to be very complex and something we're not going to really go after at this point.
Yeah, one interesting angle I find on the wireless voice over IP isn't necessarily from the perspective of traditional handset replacement, but more of an overlay product. For example, there's a company called Vocera, and what they make, and they've got great uptake in a medical facility, and they're trying to replace traditional paging. Imagine being in a hospital, you hear the pages overhead. what Vocera products do is they are basically badges that medical personnel can wear, and it's very Captain Kirk, Star Trek-like, where you can touch the badge, and through voice recognition, you can basically page someone. You know, I could touch the badge and say, Brian, and it would immediately, the system itself would root through and try to contact Brian through their Vocera badge. Failing that connection, that message protocol or that message would then be routed back into the traditional PBX or voice over IP system and would cascade through that hunt group and into that messaging technology. So I think it's a very interesting application of what can be done with wireless voice over IP, but I think the important consideration there is it's not necessarily a replacement for the traditional infrastructure that's there. The traditional handsets and the traditional messaging infrastructure is very much an overlay that sits on top of it to really drive productivity and greater, I guess, greater reach to employees.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd like to thank you, Mike, Brian, and George, for sharing your insights about how organizations can actually enjoy savings and other benefits by using voice over IP and also at the same time creatively deal with the related challenges that might be coming up. Finally, the commercial organizations have started seeing the benefit of using voice over IP. And see, however, a complete replacement of landline to voice over IP just right up front would be rather risky. Like any other IT initiative that we undertake, there's always a good idea to do a pilot, remove all the kinks that are related to it, and then do an enterprise-wide rollout, and it'll be smoother. At least the chances of it being smooth would be better. And now, voice over IP, is that for everybody? It's possible, but it all depends on the call volume and the additional voice and data handling features that you plan to use. And the fact remains that it still depends on the electricity and the internet availability. A landline backup would definitely ensure business continuity in that case. With baby bells striving to maintain their market share, there will be even a stiffer competition going forward. If they match the price and provide other similar features that voice over IP provides, can voice over IP compete on just the reliability factor? Please send your answers to talkshow.participate@awol.com, talkshow.participate@awol.com. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next Friday, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog All next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.